The Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Coming up, plenty on Penn State, Ohio State, as Bear and the Game Day crew will be headed there for that one Saturday night. Lines that smell like manure, they are back. It feels like they're there every week. Cincinnati or BYU, who's better? Bear and I disagree on that one. And, of course, Bear's power rankings for Halloween candy. That and a special announcement for all people covering Pac-12 teams that go to those schools in the middle. And if gambling is your thing, then you're probably a fan of fantasy football, which means you need to check out Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. They'll get you ready each week with everything you need to know. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Focus Football Podcast and Stanford Steve and the Bear, wherever you get your podcast.
Indiana. Oh, Indiana, Indiana, we're all for you. Oh, Indiana, oh, Indiana, Indiana, we're all for you. I-U!
Oh, those two letters, I-U. Hopefully some people had some fun with that. We dug that up. Travis, great job over the weekend. I just felt like we needed the people to hear. If they hadn't, the Bear let out his love for his Hoosiers. Bear, how are we?
I'm doing great. Yeah, that was one of a few fight songs that were sung and hummed throughout Saturday afternoon of watching college football. There might have been a little North Carolina. There might have been a little of that hum throughout the day as well. I don't know the Rutgers song, but I just may have belted out a
maybe we make one.
Jay from Tyler. Yeah, we should make
one. Like some country anthem, chopping wood. Like we could figure something out right there.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of music. It was a good day.
What are you the last couple weeks besides unbeatable?
The columns. What 8-0, 9-0 in the column and the board. The board I went with 3-0, 2-1. So it's been good. I'm a little mad at myself because I was all set to go Indiana on the board. And then I just had that last second, and I went with Rice.
Yeah.
And it was a loser.
That's okay.
I'll take 2-1 on the board every single week.
You know what you might see again this week?
Lines that smell like manure, part two.
Rice.
Maybe. Against what? Southern Miss, right?
Yep.
The interim head coach for the head coach that got fired after one game.
Correct. We'll get on that in a little bit. All right, you're going to be in Happy Valley, Penn State, Ohio State. We know it's lost a little bit of its luster. Penn State loses to IU. Right now, Ohio State minus 12.5, 63 is your number. Obviously, it's going to be different. There's no wideout. It's Halloween night. Herbie's not going to be able to send out his twit video of the crowd before and, you know, seeing how many likes it gets before kickoff. He loves all that stuff. He
college football.
I'm excited
to call the game. I love coming here. Yeah, we get it. Rinse, watch, repeat.
Yeah.
We get it.
And then if you ask him, you know, when he's in Baton Rouge, that's the best. And, you know, then Penn State people, this is my favorite. Penn State people ask you, if this is the best place you've ever been to for a game, and I say no, and I ask, have you ever been to Baton Rouge? And they say no, and I'm like, well, don't try and, you know, get mad at me because you are part of the whole conversation. But that's another conversation. Penn State could not have played worse in that first half in Bloomington. It was interception after interception. Clifford didn't look well. The tight end looks great. But they got it going in the second half. Busted coverage actually helped get the lead. We all know what happened at the end. But we understand that the injury thing, you know, they're down to their four-string running back now coming into this game. Ohio State couldn't have looked better after a little bit of a slow start. Was it tied 14-14, Bucknut? Is that when you put your hands underneath your butt?
No, I wasn't too worried. It was, I think, 14-14. I was like, if we just get a touchdown here to end the half, we get the ball, we're good.
So we talked last week, I think, Bear, about, you know, how comparatively what this line was going to look like off of when Miami went to Clemson. And then we did our whole discussion about the drop from Clemson to everyone else in the ACC and then the Big Ten and we used Penn State because we thought they were going to be 1-0, I would think, coming into this game as the barometer of the second best team in the Big Ten. So now we have Penn State with a loss. We have Minnesota with a loss. Wisconsin now off the board against Nebraska because of COVID situations. The 12.5, I mean, what we text Sunday morning, you said that's going to be 13 at kickoff. Do you still feel that way? Do you feel more movement coming on this game?
I do. I'm gonna give a little flashback here to Saturday Twitter feed here. Master Teague doesn't look the part right now. No real push from him. Can someone let this defense know the season has started? Then he has a quote tweet, and the linebackers aren't doing much either. And comments about the defensive line getting blown off the ball.
Who's this, Bucknut?
Yeah. Yeah, my God, this run game is trash right now.
Is that Tom Engel's Twitter feed?
Yeah, and that might be our producer's Twitter feed.
Oh,
she sure does. Has a different telling story as to someone who really wasn't concerned very much right now.
Put the phone down when the game is on, Travis. There's a hint for you.
Is Fox going to mention Haskell Garrett's unreal story of even being able to be dressed, let alone out there playing and get a sack?
Oh my Lord.
Sounds like an angry, nervous man to me.
Never met one of those that roots for that.
Huge play for the defense, but they still have things to figure out. We love you. We love you, Travis. Don't worry.
What's that Twitter handle too? So if people want the insight, what is it again?
At Travis Rockhold.
Okay. All right. Not related to Luke.
No relation.
Yeah. He's tougher. But
to answer your initial question, I am going to wait it out. I do think it might still go up to 13 just because of now that the Penn State's running back situation. But I agree with you. If it does hit 13, I will be very, very tempted to take Penn State in this game. I think you look at people are going to have a bit of an overreaction just because they lost. I don't think Penix got in. I thought the replay showed he didn't get in, but they didn't overturn the call on the field. So it does go down as a loss, and it just a million thing, crazy things happen. We can go over, like you said, we can go over it, but Penn State's defense played great in the game. You just can't continue to think like you're going to have Justin Fields as your leading runner, both in terms of attempts and yards. Like what we joked about what Travis was tweeting on Saturday during the game, but he was kind of right between Teague and Trey Sermon. I think they combined for like 24 carries for 89 yards. Like that's not going to cut it. They're going to need more than that, and it's not going to be a Penn State defense that is easy to run on. If it does hit 13, I would certainly consider taking Penn State at 13. If it's 11, 10.5, 11.5 under 13, then and I don't read the line movement well, then maybe it's Ohio State or a pass. But if you can get 13. You can buy it up 12.5 to 13. If it just naturally touches 13, that might be worth a play.
I think Clifford came into his own in the second half. I thought he played a lot better. Obviously, the turnovers get magnified in a stage like that, in a game that was featured in a spot where I thought plenty of people were watching. But here's one thing. The Penn State running back thing, you know what you do? You go get one of your backup safeties that don't play, because guess what he did in high school? He plays running back.
Running back.
You got that, all right? All right, so there's that. On the other side, Olave, I don't think he's going to play for Ohio State, so Fields might not have one of his toys to play with. It is crazy to see no Bosa or a Chase Young, like guy that you're like, oh, my God, who the hell is that on the Ohio State defensive line? But I'm sure somebody will emerge because Mr. Johnson's the best D-line coach in America, and he does his thing there. But, yeah, I mean – I don't like the game. I still think it's early. I mean, I simply asked Scott the question, you know, on our podcast yesterday. In the Big Ten, who's good? Who do you think right now that you have a really good feeling is a good football team? I can't say that with Penn State. I don't know. Indiana, love you. Love the win. I'm still not sure. You're giving a ton of points this week. Michigan, I don't know what to think of Minnesota. Minnesota's got a big trip coming up to the Snake Pit this week, Friday night. Better watch out. Northwestern
20-point favorite, better watch out.
Yeah. Northwestern quarterback looks awesome, defense look great, so it's still a little bit too early for me to have a side in this game. So I guess office pools and stuff like that, I'm taking the points. Do you expect it high scoring? You think Penn State scores 40?
No.
No? Okay. All right.
No way. Penn State 40 against
Ohio? I mean, Ohio State. Ohio State. I'm sorry.
No.
38?
No.
Okay.
I think it's low 30s for them.
Coach Franklin gets that run game going. See? He'll figure it out. What? How many times has he actually beaten Ohio State? Once?
Once. Once and then 2 1-point losses.
Oof. Would the narrative be a little different if he got one of those wins?
Sure would be.
Which one was worse? The Barkley game or the whiteout game?
Probably the whiteout game because they had that game won.
Yeah, there's a lot of time left in the Barkley game.
Yeah, they had that game won. At least the Barkley game was in Columbus. That was more good Ohio State making some great plays to come back and win. And they really were dominated in terms of yardage and yards per play. Like, it was Penn State special teams that gave them the lead in that game. Right. But the game, the whiteout game in State College, that was theirs to lose the game the way they did. And that's part of the narrative right there.
Yeah.
As to why they lost the game.
Sorry to bring it up, Penn State fans.
You're right about the Big Ten. And I said this on Monday, said some people like we really did. I think going into the year, a lot of people expected Wisconsin or Penn State to be that second best team in the Big Ten. And like after 1 week, like obviously Wisconsin, their game being canceled this week and no merch. So we have no idea how many games Wisconsin is even going to wind up playing this year now.
Yeah.
Big Ten, 8 games in 8 weeks. It was kind of hopeful. And obviously it didn't take long for that plan to go by the wayside. And Penn State, your defense looked great. Offense struggled for a while, got going. But, like, is Michigan now the second best team in the Big Ten? I mean, to have 5 different backs with, like, at least 5 carries and, like, 9 different players catch a pass, to have a quarterback that can run and throw the way Milton did. That's why I kind of made that argument going into the year. Like, I thought the gap potentially between Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten was just as big as the gap between Clemson and the rest of the ACC. So we'll see. If you figure Penn State was potentially your second best team in the Big Ten, and now you're a 12-point favorite on the road. I mean, that's kind of a big gap when you do the comparative math. When if people think Miami's the second best team in the ACC, or we'll find out next week with Notre Dame, I think is probably the team most people would say is the second best team in the ACC. Like what comparative line? So it'll be curious to see, but I think there's a little bit of an overreaction to Penn State having that loss to Indiana in a game that statistically, and Bill Connolly had the number as well, that what was it post game when expecting 5%. So it's one of those. Yeah, I guess technically you are what your record says you are, but really you aren't. All wins are not created equal.
And you think that Clemson Notre Dame line is going to be north and more of than 14? I think it's going to be a little less.
Yeah, I think they're going to be
something for us to revisit. That's all.
Notre Dame at home, November, cold weather potentially. Yeah, I think
the echoes.
Yeah, I was going to say I think Notre Dame has pulled all these upsets before. You'll get people better. It's going to be one of those, and the number will come out. You'll get Notre Dame money to come in, bet it down, and then other people will come in at a reduced price and buy clubs. And that's what will happen next week. Okay.
All right. Yeah, so we're not keen on this game. Really interested to see what happens, though, in that Penn State-Ohio State game. I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a better football team, Cincinnati or BYU?
Who's better?
Yeah.
From what I have seen?
Yes.
BYU is better.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm on the island on this one, Travis. Van Pelt said the same thing. He thinks a lot of BYU. I think a lot of Cincinnati. I know I want more. I'm not a big sample size guy, but I would like to see a little bit more from the Bearcats. But, man, SMU was running up and down the field on people, and that game was nuts. But Cincy was darn impressive to me. So
defensively, they were. I think, are they going to be able to win with an offense that, I mean, what Ritter had so many big run plays. I mean, that was, but I'm not saying like it's BYU -7 or anything like that, but I I like that BYU team from seeing them against just absolutely obliterate Navy and just seeing them kind of take no prisoners since then. They've been – I love Zach Wilson. It was really cool to see him on the ranking show last night as well. What an impressive kid. So that'll be a game.
Did he wear his headband?
No headband. Okay. No headband.
Right. Reese wouldn't let him wear it.
No, Reese wouldn't let him do it. I wish that game was on a Saturday, by the way. Boise game. Why? So game day could potentially be there. And maybe Kirk and Chris and Maria
could
call
it. You guys don't go out west. You guys don't go out west. We know you guys don't like
us
out west.
We'll see.
All right. We'll see.
Let's revisit next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's revisit.
Hey, any news is good news for us out west. We're coming. We're coming. We can't practice. We can't shower in our own facility because the county won't let us out in the Bay Area. But, hey, we're still trying to practice. Unbelievable. That's another story for another day. All right. And a couple would you rathers before we get to the lines that smell like manure. Would you rather watch UCF in Houston or OU in Texas Tech?
UCF in Houston. Just because you know UCF is going to score every possession and give up a score every possession, and you never know what kind of like facial reaction you're going to get out of a Kraken.
Okay.
So, like that.
Well, he's got the mask on, so you can't see all the bad words he's saying.
Yeah, but still, with the salad, it's still a beautiful sight.
It's tremendous. All right, and would you rather give 31 with Clemson or 31 with Bama?
31 with Bama.
Okay.
Just because BC is one of the, they're always going to try. You know, there's always effort and. We're going to play to the whistle and make every possession count. Whereas, what about Mississippi State has made you, last few weeks, made you believe that they can actually, like, block people. And the other thing with Clemson, too, there might be a little foot off the gas, pull some guys in anticipation of that big trip to South Bend next week.
Do you think Coach Jeff at BC is looking at the film of the Fiesta Bowl saying, oh, I wish I had a couple of these defensive players since Ben Clemson.
He might be.
For those of you who don't know, he was a defense coordinator at Ohio State last year. He's now the head coach at BC. He's not going to have a lot of toys to play with as he did in that Fiesta Bowl, which is still going to go in as one of the all-timers that I was on the field for, man. That game was awesome.
Was that the last game you were on the sideline for?
No, national championship.
Okay, you were. Okay.
Yeah. Yep, which was another incredible scene with all the music that was being played when that LSU game was in hand, which was amazing. All right, let's get to some things that smell.
Manure! I hate manure!
Barry, you tweeted out last night, plenty of games that do reek like manure. And can you explain to the people why they smell and what your meaning is and therefore who you're telling to be careful when they're looking at these games, because people don't get, as soon as you tweeted it, I knew people weren't going to understand what you were saying. Go ahead.
Lines that smell like manure basically means and I think a good portion of our audience does get it, but the Twitter world might be a little bit different, is why does this line look eerily low? Why does it look like a sucker line? Why does it look like they're almost begging you to take one side and giving away an appealing key number? Example being North Carolina, who is 4-1 and their offense has been great. They're only laying 6.5, basically saying if North Carolina, you win by 7, a key number on the road at 1-4 or 1-5 Virginia, whoever it is who has not looked great at times this year, but they do get Armstrong back. It's basically go ahead. Bet North Carolina. They'll beat Virginia by 7. Go ahead. That's a great bet. The line smells like manure.
Yes.
Why? It's basically only side I could play in this game would be Virginia, because the North Carolina side looks like they're trying to lure you in to give away a key number there. So you do look at Virginia. They did play Clemson tough for a little bit. They lost Armstrong for a few games. The game against Miami was a competitive game.
They got a guy like 98. They're snapping a 2. They're going Wildcat. Yep. He's throwing it. 99. I'm like, what's going on here? I had it on a side TV. I had to keep checking. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah, and I caught a couple of snaps every now and then because the game was on the same time as the game, the Michigan-Minnesota game that I was working last week, so I couldn't fully pay attention to the Canes and Cavs. But I don't know. I'd be very careful about laying the points here with Virginia. It just looks like a very, very bad, cheap line. The other one is I think, the poster child for line that smells like manure, dog with fleas, all in one. It's West Virginia. Unranked West Virginia, -3.5 against 4-1, number 16, Kansas State. Wow, the ranked team on the road against an unranked team. Wow, they're an underdog. And you're giving me, like, even if they lose by a field goal, I win. Like, that's another one. You just got to sniff that out. You look at Kansas State. Yeah, they did beat Oklahoma. But you kind of go down with that. I think they've been outgained in every other game, in every game except for one this year. They've been really good at not turning the ball over. Kind of reminds me, I remember we were talking about BC and Virginia Tech a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, BC had been living off of the turnovers.
Yeah, you were all over that one.
And that's not going to continue up. Eventually, Kansas State is going to turn the ball over now with the backup quarterback game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to lose some of these games that they've been outgamed and probably should have lost. But, like, I actually went back and did a little data mining on this as well, just to get some evidential support. People talk about, like, trends and how, oh, you think this really matters. And imagine thinking someone actually thinks as well. Go back through some of the situations that I tweeted out last week, and a lot of them were spot on, but I'm not being bitter or anything or angry or upset. Since 2017,
mm-hmm.
there have been 13 instances of a team ranked outside the top 15 as an underdog of 4 points or fewer on the road against an unranked team. In other words, this spot, those 13 teams are 2-11, both straight up and against the number.
Wow.
And one of the wins was that Cal win at Ole Miss last year, where they had to play on the goal line that they barely kept them out, and Ole Miss kind of
shot themselves
in the foot.
Was that week one? That was week one.
I think it was week one. It was one or two. It was early on.
Oh, my God. It feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. So it very easily could be 1-12. This situation where it looks too good to be true, it usually is. So, again, I am going to warn you of treading carefully in that game. And then the other game, which I thought smelled like manure, was Iowa. Only 2.5-point favorite at home.
Only 2.5
against Northwestern. Wow, you mean Iowa? If Iowa wins by a field goal at home against Northwestern, I'll win and I'll cover. I'd be careful here. That Pat Fitzgerald was a little late in making the change of coordinator, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years late. I know they only played Maryland in the first week of the season, but
right, easy. I live here.
I know you do. I mean, that was a shot across the bow directed at you.
All right.
Their offense played great. Defensively, Maryland couldn't do a thing. I would be careful here if you're considering just laying that 2.5 with Iowa. I know it seems counterintuitive, but more often than not, underdogs at 2.5, favorites at 3.5. And it's a good segue, too, by the way, to give Chris Andrews, send him our best wishes. He, the sportsbook director at the South Point, who tested positive for the coronavirus. He's at home quarantining and getting his rest, so hopefully he will be on his way to improvement. But this is the conversation I had with him about this last year, about how I don't have any evidence on this, but it's just kind of a theory that I had. And he actually agreed with me. He said that a lot of times it does seem like it should be the opposite, but favorites at 3.5, underdogs at 2.5, that's usually the way the sharper plays will be at times. So I'm not just making crap up and just throwing random things with no substantiation at it. Yeah, actually other people have bought this out as well. So those are three lines that smell like manure. It smells like manure that I will be looking to avoid stepping in this week, and I'm encouraging you to avoid stepping
and
in.
And to recap, you would be on the sides of those games. You would be on
Northwestern, Virginia, and what was the other game? West Virginia.
West Virginia. That's right. Very good. I actually like Northwestern, I think, in that game. I wanted to watch the Iowa game back one more time just to see that again. I know it wasn't pretty.
I need to watch that fourth quarterback, too.
I thought going into the draft, Wirfs was the best tackle, and I think he's played pretty darn well for Tampa down there. But then that Epinesa,
Tampa Bay
too.
Eliminator pick this week, by the way.
Oh, okay. Make sure you get that.
I decided to dodge the save. I think there's another opportunity to use the Chiefs down the road, whereas I'll just trust Tampa Bay on the road against the Gigantes on Monday night.
Got to wait all weekend for that one. All good. I'm done. Just seeing how valuable those guys at Iowa lost. I mean, we talked about those guys in the draft. They were two of my favorite players going in the draft. I talked about them a ton. So, yeah, I got to go back and watch that. It sounds like Rondale Moore is not going to play for Purdue when they play Illinois. He hasn't practiced yet this week.
What's up with that, by the way? Have you heard? That's, like, weird. I'm opting out. Nope, I'm opting back in. I'm good. And is he like, yeah, I'm going to kind of
wait and see
kind of deal, or is he actually hurt? There's an eligibility thing. It's a little weird how that came down
last
week all of a sudden.
Yep. Team that isn't ranked that thinks they should be. What fan base is mad? I have mine. They were just mentioned. Northwestern. They're all fired up. All their fans, because they're all in sports, are really mad tweeting. They think they're awesome this year. So that's my fan base that thinks they should be ranked that aren't.
Yeah, that's probably right.
And they're going to get mad at me for not using proper English. Sorry.
That's probably a good answer. I don't know if Liberty fans could actually be mad. I think they probably feel like, hey, we're undefeated. Coastal Carolina's undefeated. Like why shouldn't we be?
We beat Syracuse worse than Clemson did.
Yeah, exactly. There we go, Trent. Carry that property over. We like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with not the Liberty, like they're up in arms and like totally furious about, but I think they probably got a little chip on their shoulder. Like, hey, we're undefeated too. What about us?
No doubt. All right, so Northwestern takes the cake there with fan bases that are mad that aren't ranked but think they should be. It's better when we don't have a title for that. One thing I wanted to announce or get out to some college guys that listen to the show. We tried to do it earlier, and I totally flaked on it. But I wanted to try out a contest, Barron. Here's what I was thinking. The Pac-12 is going to start their season November 7th. What I want to do is I want to get a representative from every Pac-12 school, and I want one. So we're going to pick one. You guys hit us up. My DMs are open. At Chris Felica on Twitter, at Travis Rockhold, the producer, at Stanford Steve 82. Hit us up, and then we will decide who we pick. Here's what it is. We're going to pick one person from every Pac-12 school. You are going to send us a 30-second recording as to why your school is going to win the Pac-12 championship. And at the end of the season, when we get the Pac-12 championship game, we are going to have the two guys that are competing on for that game break down the Pac-12 game. Does that sound like a plan, Bear?
That's an awesome plan. And I think the best part about this is being able to listen to those in Boulder that put together 30 seconds as to why CU will win the Pac-12 this year.
Hey, we know we'll get them. I just been thinking a lot of you guys out there. When I was in college, I had no idea what the hell I was going to be doing. And I know there's guys out there that are really got their head on straight. And I can't imagine what it's like having to deal with going to school and trying to do a job of covering a team. And you're probably not able to travel or go to any practices, and you're just sitting in your room. So I really want to give these guys an opportunity to get this out there and see what you got, man.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Corvallis, I can't wait. I just can't wait to hear, and go back to, I've been to every Pac-12 town, and it'll just be fun. I just think it'll be good, and give you guys a chance to show what you got. And don't be a homer. Tell me why you're true. If you don't think you're going to win, maybe that's even better. Let's do that for hit us up on Twitter, and then we'll start narrowing down the list this week, and hopefully we have all 12 guys with their 30 seconds next week.
And if no one from CU chimes in, we're going to have Fowler do it. So you better do it.
Coastal, shout out to them for getting the job done.
That was a good job.
We talked about them last week with that line smelling like manure. They didn't even have their quarterback and they got the win. Weird game. I hate to be the guy, but be careful again this week. But you know what? You know you're getting everybody's best shot now. But I really like the job that Elliott's done at Georgia State. I thought that program was going to take a while. He got those guys competing, man. Like, they play hard. Lost a brutal game to Louisiana in my office. Well, I think that's going to be on there. I think I like Georgia State in that game. And it's on that 2.5 that we talked about before. So That's a good one. And it sounds like McCall's not going to – I don't think he practiced Monday or Tuesday. So that's interesting to see what happens in that game. I would lean towards Georgia State in that game.
Yeah, I would think it's kind of hard for him to play if he doesn't practice Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
That would be my thought there.
Shout out again to Coach Chadwell. Enough going on. But that was really impressive for them to get that win last week in what seemed like a tough spot. They are in that old Nooner slot again this week. So,
Nooner,
be careful. Be careful, shot the Clares.
Where are we with LSU? I wasn't quite ready to put it in the line that smells like manure.
Yeah.
They're laying a field goal at Auburn. Like we're good. We're back on LSU. Everything's fine and dandy.
I can't think of a time or a year where I've been less fired up to watch an LSU Auburn game. I don't even know if I'll watch. Like, that's tough. And it's not fair. No, to answer your question, no, you can't fix everything against South Carolina at home. That is not doable. You are not able to do that. That line, I mean, I was actually surprised that LSU is favored. I actually thought it might be a pick 'em. There's that on that game. I have zero feel. Auburn, we all know the calls that they've gotten, which have directly resulted in two wins, which should be two losses. But
don't you
know what, Auburn?
Hate that.
Keep going.
And by the way, and seeing what the line was, I didn't realize it because I did not see the openers. Our friends at Circa, congratulations, by the way, on the
fiasco last night.
I know.
Black tie everywhere.
I know. I texted Mike Palm earlier in the day just saying all the best to you and Derek and everyone there. And he was like, really wish you and Stanford Steve could be out there, out here for it. So we wish we were too. But anyway, so hopefully at some point we will. And I would expect to be. But Metcalf and the boys actually opened Auburn -2. This line's crossed over.
Oh, wow.
Now it's LSU -3. So our initial feel right there that we were surprised that LSU were favored. Well, Metcalf and the guys at Circa had Auburn -2 at the start, so there you go. That's another like I wish I could go back and chart it or find a way to chart it, because again, that's another psychological barrier that I have with I wouldn't even call it a theory. I'll call it a barrier more than anything. Like, I hate betting on teams that open up as an underdog, crossover, and close the favorite.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when that happens. It just seems like more often than not, the side that opens up the favorite does wind up being the right side.
Did that happen in Miami, Louisville earlier this year? I think it did.
Yeah,
Miami ended up going off as a favorite, I think.
Yeah, and that money was right.
Yep.
Didn't SMU open up as a didn't Cincinnati open up as a favorite and then close as a dog, and Cincinnati blew them out. So I think that might have been a one for the other way. Are you in the school of thought that you can make a case for Texas A&M as being the second best team in the SEC?
I was going to ask you, are they the best one-loss team in America?
I don't think you can put them ahead of Georgia just yet. I think Georgia's pretty good. People forget about that game. I mean, they did lead in the third quarter at Bryant Denny. And then, of course, they threw a couple of picks, and if they were to play again in the SEC championship game and there's no Jalen Waddle, maybe the result is a little bit different. So we'll see. But, no, I think if you run down the A&M schedule the rest of the way, I mean, they'll be expected to win every one of those games. And I know, that's why I asked you, because I've seen some things out there about, like, is A&M the SEC team in the best position to reach the playoff because they're not going to go to the SEC championship game and they're going to finish with one loss, and either Alabama or Florida or Georgia will have two losses, and maybe you take A&M over. So I'm just curious your take on it. It seems like a lot of points this week against Arkansas. Like, remember, they played well at Mississippi State, but defensively, but their offense didn't do a whole lot. Mississippi is garbage as Mississippi State's offense has been since that LSU game. Mississippi State's defense has been pretty good. So that I was dead wrong on that game a couple weeks ago with A&M and Mississippi State. But 12.5 seems like a lot of points to lay against an Arkansas team that's been competitive with A&M in recent years, despite being terrible. And now they're actually well coached and have some talent and structure.
Have you seen a line on Georgia?
I saw 13 as a number. I haven't seen a number on Florida, Missouri.
Oh, I know what it is. Wilson didn't practice, so they've taken it down.
That might be a good thing.
All things are pointing to Gatewood, the transfer from Auburn, that's going to start. He's played a bunch already. Because I had Georgia circled actually this week to give out as a pick.
Speaking of Georgia, I think it's a good time to just fill people in. I know a lot of people have been looking for the steamer. Coach has had some things going on family wise, so you can keep coaching his family in your thoughts.
Yep.
Things hopefully are looking up now, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. But we said last night, people are really, really wanting the steamer. They want it back. Where has it been? And he said, I haven't really been able to pay much attention, but we're giving you a 7-day warning to get that bank fortified. I'm coming in with a complete housing development pick coming back next week. So you got 7 days notice to get those bank funds ready to roll, because we'll have a steamer next week. He was fired up last night talking about it.
He is coming in hot. Good for Coach. Again, thoughts and prayers with him and his family trying to overcome some things. But as Bear said, he's positive, more positive than he's been, which was awesome to see and hear from him. Getting back to Georgia, I have Georgia fatigue, Bear, with the whole – how many chances are we going to give them? The one time they came back and responded was the SEC championship, which was where I really didn't want them to win. Was I thought Auburn was deserving that year, and they came back when Kerryon Johnson was all banged up after the Iron Bowl. But I'm a little fatigued of Georgia. So that's all in that Georgia fatigue. Bear,
some Georgia fatigue.
I'm gonna give Georgia as a pick this week. So I'm gonna lay the 13. As we get set for some picks, I also want to get your power rankings on Halloween candy, which I'm sure people will be really happy with you about.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you're leaning towards that you see that will be on the board this week? A lot of anticipation for the board. Love seeing the tweet on the morning of the board. Love it.
I know. Yeah. I'm struggling right now with what I deem board worthy games. I don't want to throw the manure game up there just because it smells like manure. But I don't want to throw manure just because it smells like manure. That's what you get out of this podcast. It's perfect.
I got another question for you.
Yes.
Is Boise good?
I didn't see much of that game this weekend.
Yeah.
They're Boise. Boise's always good.
I am really, yes, you're correct. Good, you know, like a Boise contender. Good. I can't wait for that game against BYU.
No, they're not. I don't think they're
Kelly Bachmeyer. No, Herbie loved him last year. He doesn't like him anymore.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, and then their season kind of.
They got to do something about their uniforms, because they directly blend in camouflage with the turf. Like, yes, I know it's always been a problem. But, like, if you notice, guys don't wear white sleeves. They don't wear orange sleeves. Nothing. Like, we got to do something about this. This is stupid. I can't imagine being a coach up in the box trying to find those guys on the field. They blend right in. So, Boise's got to wear orange pants or white pants or something. It's getting ridiculous. And I love you, Boise. All right, as you're going, I'm also looking at the over in the Snake Pit Friday night. Listen. Both teams got crushed. We talked about it before with, you know, trying to figure things out in the Big Ten. One team gave up 49, that's Minnesota. One team gave up 43, Maryland, and Maryland was way less more impressive. Listen, PJ Fleck's going to turn things around. I don't care what happens. You guys touched on it once the game started. He was out with a bunch of things. I just feel like that he's going to try and get it back fast. I believe he put 50-something on Maryland last year. Listen, Maryland, I unfortunately watched a lot of that game. And as good as Northwestern was, Maryland just gave him the ball. Like, there were guys open, and little Tua just, I mean, he couldn't make the throws. Other kid came in. They have some guys running free. If anything, Maryland's going to score some points in this game. I would think they would be better at scoring than defending. So I'm going to go with the over here at the Snake Pit.
I want to see what's going to happen with Florida, because I'm tempted to take Missouri plus the points. Like, I mean, sure, Florida didn't even open their facility until Monday. They just got more positive cases. Like, I mean, they haven't – I can't imagine they practiced much or done much while their program was shut down for the last couple of weeks. Like, and Missouri's good. Missouri's gone there before and won. If this is 13, 14 points, like it could be, I don't know. I'd be pretty interested in taking – like, Eli Drake was just done a hell of a job there.
Baseball, hell yeah, played, Coach Drake. He could steam some offense, boy.
Literally just pulling 13 off of that VegasInsider.com first column. It says Florida minus 15.
Yeah.
And then I see, but I'm like, I can't imagine it'll be fit, but like if it's that high, I mean, I would think Missouri would certainly be worth the play there. I don't want to play it just because of the situation, but Notre Dame laying 21 or whatever it is to on the road at Georgia Tech off of a big win, and you got Clemson next week. I don't know. That seems like a lot of points to lay with a team that has a season-defining game next week. And you know Georgia Tech will be doing the extra bench presses and
– oh, yeah. 404, baby. Side,
getting ready to off of the loss this past week. So, I don't know. That seems like a lot. What about Indiana Rutgers?
I love Rutgers. Love Rutgers in this game. But
was their offense great last week? No.
No.
I think, as I said, it was more about – I didn't expect Michigan State to be very good at all this year, and it was almost more about, like, me not having a ton of expectation for Michigan State and just expecting Rutgers to at least be well-coached. And, their defense had played well last year at times, and they continued to do that. So it was good to see Rutgers' defense go out there, get seven turnovers. One came on special teams, but and to go on the road and get the win. It was just good for those kids who have been around a program which has just stunk for the last few years and go on the road and get a win.
The guys that go inside and, go back, the box score guys that go back and look, like, I know they're going to say Rutgers isn't that good because they got the seven turnovers. This is just more about Indiana letdown spot. I mean, you saw the emotion that they had and how long it's been since they've beaten that top 10 team. So I just think Rutgers, we said it before last week, a ton of transfers. You got Shiano, you got some stability there. It's not your Terry Shea Rutgers. Okay. So we'll start there. They got some guys that have played Division I football. I think they can do enough to hang around and cover the 12. Texas, Oklahoma State. Smelly.
I got no feel. All I know is the best unit on the field is the Oklahoma State defense. That's
okay.
That would be my their defense. I mean, again, they may be Purdy played poorly, largely in part to that to how well Oklahoma State's D played. Iowa State's D played well too. I mean, they kept him in that game. But I had questions last week wondering if Oklahoma State was. If they were as good as their record and their numbers indicated and kind of went through what they had done. But after last week, I mean, I'm sold on the Oklahoma State defense. I think they're legit. And I think, again, the Texas offense is a Sam Ehlinger one-trick pony. And if they can shut him down, I think they'll win the game.
All right. Yeah, I have zero feel. Interesting game. I'm still scarred from Big 12 football after Kansas ran a kickback against West Virginia. Speaking of Kansas, you know my side there. If I have to pick the game, I'm taking Iowa State and laying a 28.5. KU just not good. That was another one where we got scared off because of what happened the week prior. Kansas State was the right side against Kansas last week. Shout out. Plenty of you guys had them. You guys tweeted me a bunch after the game, or I should say when it was like 21-0. You guys, I can't believe you didn't give out Kansas. I'm like, I was a little spooked from last week. I'm not going to lie. Sparty's getting 24.5 from Michigan. If there's an overreaction to week one, this is the game, isn't it? Are they that bad?
Yeah, seriously, what's the look ahead?
Sparty threw for over 300 yards.
What's the look ahead line on this game like prior to last week? 12?
I was going to say 10.5.
14?
24.5, man. That's a ton.
It does seem like a lot.
And Michigan's back to running the ball. You know, like they're not going to – I mean, you eliminate the big plays, that's – I don't know. That's a lot of points in a – and I know people are, you know, throwing their comments at the new coach, but, man, that's a lot of points. And just the get-up factor, you know they're going to be up.
Yeah, I agree. It does seem like if I had to play the game, I would lean towards taking the Spartans and the points just because Michigan's offense is going to have to do it again. And again, turnovers, like we've hit on turnovers, those things are not something that you can count on regularly. And those things come and go in cycles. And you certainly would not expect Michigan State to turn it over 7 times again. And it's just a lot of points. And it's just weird how sometimes the emotions and psychology of college football work in such a way where now I think the excitement and hype about Michigan, the players are feeling good about themselves. Maybe there's a little bit too much pep in their step. And not that they're going to lose to Michigan State, but it could be a rivalry game and it could be a little closer than people think. Bucknut, what'd you take away from Michigan last week?
They looked impressive. I want to see a little more out of Milton. And then Minnesota had so many players out on offense that I'd like to see. That's why I want to see a little more. But I'm taking my rival in this game.
You're laying 24 and a half.
You're laying it with the winged helmet.
Wow. Can you help me figure out what the hell Virginia Tech football is this year?
A roller coaster ride?
Holy, you can't lose to Wake Forest.
They did.
You can't. That's a bad, bad loss.
It is a bad loss.
Bad loss.
Virginia, a Wake Forest defense, which has been really bad this year.
Oh, man. Tie it up, and then you claw all the way back. Not good. Good luck picking that Virginia Tech-Louisville game. I do expect there will be a lot of points in that one. But
the
over-under 67. We Louisville got us there for an over last week. Interested to see how SMU comes out after that loss to Cincinnati that we talked about. They're laying 14 at home to Navy. Boise's laying 14 at Air Force. Interested in that outcome. Cincinnati, historic Nippert Stadium, laying 6.5 to Memphis. That's interested to see my Bearcats there. I'm all in on the Bearcats, but I don't know about that. The points, Memphis had some tough losses this year, but they did beat UCF. We mentioned Bear wants to watch. Is he going to be locked in on UCF in Houston? That totals up to 82. Not sure if I've seen that. How about one team I do want to give a shout to because they have one of the toughest losses, and it's still probably the toughest loss of the season, and that's Tulsa. They went and battled Oklahoma State. We thought at the time Oklahoma State underachieved because Tulsa stinks. Tulsa's a good football team. They're laying 18 Friday night to our ECU Pirates. Hopefully Mr. Ehlers will be back under center, or I should say in the shotgun, because it seems like they're never under center, that team. But Tulsa laying 18. Tulsa is a good, good football team. I'm really happy for that. A bunch of stuff I was reading previously was, you know, the coach, they couldn't fire the coach because of the funding of the school. They're not in a great situation now. And, you know, they've really rallied the troops. They lost their star running back in camp with a torn ACL. That team's battled. Their offense is a lot better than they have been. So give Tulsa a pop this week, as the Bear would say. Anything else you got circled you want to get to?
Right now,
is not great, as I texted you Monday.
How about the San Jose State Spartans?
Oh, awesome.
Outright
awesome
win over the Force. 2-0 for the first time since 1987. To beat New Mexico this week.
If you get a chance, read what they're doing. They can't even practice. This is the Bay Area thing.
It's ridiculous.
They had to drive like insane amount of hours to go practice. I don't think they could practice I don't think they could shower at their facility after practice every day. Like it is what these guys in Cal. I mean, we haven't even gotten into this stuff, which you'll see a lot more about it. I just been following it and talking to the people, obviously, that I talked to at Stanford. It is what they're going through to play these games is, and I know everybody's got their issues and everybody's dealing with it. It's crazy though. The protocol and all that stuff. I don't want to bog it down, but I'm so pumped for San Jose State. And then somebody said we did all right on the. You said the get back games, the late slate. We did okay with that. Somebody said he bailed out with a 3-0 night late on the picks that we gave.
I know I gave that San Jose State on the money line.
Yeah,
it's one of the underdog Ryan Robinson in the column, and I think I did touch on taking San Jose State here on the pod. So good. I'm glad people. I'm glad it was a successful late night chase for people. Then good.
Love it.
That's what we're here for.
All right. Candy corn.
Oh. Oh. Use it as an adhesive.
What candy would you take candy corn over? Is there a candy? Is it all the way at the bottom?
It's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
If not the, like, I'm trying to think, maybe marshmallow peeps. Candy corn over marshmallow peeps, maybe.
I think I'm with you there. I'm with you. That's a good pull. Peeps.
Like occasionally, like if they were like small and you like let them sit out and on the counter for like 2 weeks and they got stale, like you could eat them. But brutal.
All right. No on the on the candy corn. What what's your top five?
100 grand is number one.
Like really? And Van Pelt smashed those. Okay.
So good. Yeah, I'm a hundred.
They are good. They are good.
100 grand for sure.
Okay.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Snickers. My wife is listening to me recording
the pod,
giving my and she did some, yeah, the bounty bar, the chocolate and coconut is good. And,
whoa.
I like the chocolate and the toffee. What is it? A score bar?
Like score? Yeah.
Scores are good. And then, yeah, so I'd probably go somewhere in I think that's probably a good top five for me. You know what I like too? You know what's underrated?
I'm keeping this to chocolate too. Chocolate.
Okay. And that's just, yeah. So that's it. Then we go. There's chocolate.
Because fruit, I'll destroy people in the non-chocolate.
I was going to say, you know what's under, like in terms of a non-chocolate? Like the Chuckles. Those are good.
Oh, you like the gummies? Okay.
Yeah, I like the Chuckles. So those
careful,
those
Bear. There's a lot of different kind of gummies going around the world these days. Okay. Make sure you don't take those. Careful. All right.
When we head out west again, I'll be able to familiarize myself with the gummies.
Bear ain't going on a trip to Boulder. Let's just say that.
No, not at all.
No Kit Kat. No Kit Kat.
I like Kit Kats. Yeah, Kit Kats. Twix are great as well. I'm Kit Kat. I'm Twix.
All right. Well, this is a top five, not a top 10.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I'd say Twix would probably be.
Doesn't a lean cast make your picks here?
yeah, I don't mind. Like gummy bears or Sour Patch. Sour Patch Kids, I can't do.
Snickers or Kit Kat?
Snickers.
Okay. Snickers or Reese's?
That's like Bama versus Clemson.
Is it?
Those two, I think, are 1A and 1B.
All right. You didn't mention my one seed of chocolate.
What's yours?
M&M's? Peanut M&M's.
Now the other thing, that's an entirely different, that could be a different power ranking. The new M&M's that have like a different fillings.
Oh, the caramel the key, and the
you've
pretzel.
You've got the caramel filled. Pretzel, I'm not as high, but like the caramel filled ones.
My daughter's destroyed.
The peanut butter M&M, like the peanut butter filled peanut ones. Butter?
Yeah.
The mint filled ones.
Like, oh, come on. Just go brush your teeth if you want the mint. Come on. Your top five are 100 grand Reese's, Snickers, Kit Kat, score.
Bounty score.
Bounty. I don't even know what's a bounty? Like an bounty, Almond Joy?
It's basically an Almond Joy without the
mounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to narrow down this list of picks for the Big Mike Happy Recap. It's going to be hard.
Before the Big Mike, we need Bears game day predictions.
Oh,
he missed Corso.
I missed him last week. I had Corso.
Whoa.
And Pollock reverse last week. Yep, I had Corso and Pollock reverse last week.
Wow. So you back to 500?
Well, whatever, 3-2, probably 1/5. Well,
okay.
In terms of weeks, yes.
All right.
In terms of week, 1 week I had them all right, 1 week I didn't have them all right.
Got it.
Whoever you want to keep them.
All right. What are we doing here? Kirby's calling a game, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. Kirk, you're calling the game. You cannot make a pick. Give us a key to the game. Coach is absolutely going to take Ohio State. It's my first love. I love Buckeyes, blah, blah, blah. Brutus. Pollock will take Ohio State. And I think we'll have a clean sweep for Ohio State.
Okay.
I think Dez will take Ohio State too.
Dez is not taken. Yeah, tough one for Dez.
It's a very tough one, but I think he'll go Ohio State.
The Big Mike Happy Recap is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter code STEVE at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I got to narrow this down. These are my picks I have written down right now. Our picks are official in the column. That's what we go by. We're trying to give you as much as we can here on the podcast. So I know everybody wants to hold us for a comment that's wrong as a loss, but you could take that up with the column. The column never lies. Tape don't lie. Writing don't lie. I have written down Georgia, the Maryland over, Rice, Michigan State, Georgia State, Northwestern, and Iowa State, all as possibilities. So I got to narrow that down. As much as I hate the slate, I do have possibilities, I guess. So we'll go from there, and that's what I have. You, sir?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I hate the slate so much is because you can – there are a bunch of things out there that are like, yeah, I kind of like that, but really do I want to
– Yeah.
Go? Yeah. I think West Virginia is probably the only thing right now I'm
okay.
Really confident will be – will be in the column. I think all of that adds up to a pretty good spot. And then I want to see what the Missouri Florida number is.
Gotcha.
Missouri would be another one. Yeah. And gosh, I hate going against our boys from Coastal, but Georgia Southern.
I know. Georgia
State seems like the right side there.
Like I just said, I just think they're battle tested, man. Like I mentioned the brutal loss they had to Louisiana. They started the season. I mean, they've had a funky season as a lot of teams have. But here's the rundown. They lose to Louisiana 34-31. They beat smoke East Carolina 49-29. Lose to Arkansas State 59-52 on that crazy weeknight game. Yep. And then they beat Troy, who I think is a decent team, 36-34. So they've played really good competition. Elliott's moving up there, too, as coaches I wouldn't want to fight because that guy gets after it. He's definitely moving up there. So Georgia State's a definite possibility. I just like, you know, that they're due. They feel like they're due. And Coastal, again, another game without McCall. I just don't like the way that is. So that's why I am on the Georgia State side.
And especially off of that big win that they had last week, too.
Absolutely. Like
they kind of justified their ranking in adversity. Yeah, it's
got to deal with what, you know, what job is their head coach going to take next year now? You know, he's in that category.
That's not a good spot to be.
All right, so there's an extended Big Mike Happy Recap. Bear, again, I've said it, I think, 8 times, and this is your shortest trip of all, but travel safe and take us away.
Shortest trip? But sometimes the most difficult.
Oh.
Just because there's no easy – well, there is an easy way of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the flights are connections and puddle jumpers or a long drive. But we'll figure it out. We're good. And remember, right. The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
Until next week, thank you, everybody. If you have any questions, please get at us. Podcasts have been great lately. What is it? Subscribe, rate, and review, Travis?
Look at you.
All right.
Nailed it.
It only took you 4 years, 5 years.
At Chris Fleek on Twitter, at Stanford Steve 82. all the questions you need, obviously hit us up. DMs are open.